cameras, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency?
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Jani, and I'm joined with...
Glory.
That is correct. And today, I feel like we've been on a bit of an international journey, because I feel like we are going all over the world, and that's not stopping today, as we head to Japan.
Oh, sounds interesting.
Yeah, actually, I teach English to Japanese students, and one of the students I teach actually mentioned this case, so shout out to him. So we are having a look at a case that shocked the world, not just because of its brutality, but because of its cold ideology behind it. This is the story. Now, please note, I don't speak a word of Japanese. So, if my pronunciation is a little bit sideways, we apologize now at the beginning. But this is the story of the Sagamihara stabbings. I think I said that so wrong. Sagamihara. That's probably better. A massacre.
That's a big jump.
Yeah, I forgot the H, okay? Forgive me. A massacre that occurred not in a war zone or a city street, but in a care home, a place meant for protection, not death. And at the center of all of it, a man who believed that some lives are worth more than others. It was just past 2 a.m. on July 26, 2016, in the quiet city of Sagamihara, located in Kanagawa Prefecture, southwest of Tokyo. The Tutsuki Yamayuri, I feel like I am in an Afrikaans exam.
Wow.
And I'm very much trying these words. But the Tutsuki Yamayuri Care Facility, a peaceful center for people with severe mental and physical disabilities. They had settled into the stillness of the night. Staff members were making rounds, and most of the 149 residents were asleep. What they didn't know was that someone was watching. Someone who knew the layout, who knew where the most vulnerable residents were sleeping. At exactly 2:10 a.m., a man jumped the facility's fence and broke into the building. He was armed with two large knives and a horrifying plan. Over the next 45 minutes, he moved from room to room, systematically stabbing his victims. He didn't target staff or even try to hide. He moved with purpose, efficient, and merciless. By the time he was finished, 19 people were dead, 9 men and 10 women, aged between 18 and 70. 26 more were injured, many critically. Then, just as calmly, he left. At 3 a.m., he walked into a police station, turned himself in, and uttered a single chilling sentence. I did it. I killed them. Wild.
Okay.
The killer's name was Satoshi Yumatsu. At first glance, he didn't seem like someone capable of mass murder. He was 26, educated, and had previously worked as a caretaker at that very facility he would later attack. But underneath the surface, something dark was festering. In the months leading up to the massacre, Yumatsu began to express extreme views, particularly about people with disabilities. He believed they were a burden on society, and worse, he believed that they should be euthanized. So that's killed. In February 2016, just 5 months before the attack, he hand-delivered a disturbing letter to the Speaker of Japan's lower house of parliament. In it, he proposed a new law that would allow euthanasia of people with disabilities and stated his goal to eliminate 470 disabled people. So just let that sink in. He literally handed them this letter being like, all people with a disability need to die. Okay? He laid out his ideology, his hatred, his intent, and nothing happened. Instead of arresting him, authorities sent him for a short-term psychiatric evaluation. He was deemed not a threat and released to society.
I just like before you could even mention the fact that he was taken for some whatever
psychiatric
test, I knew already that was going to happen. And yeah. Again, as you would know, we on this show have a thing against the government because they have a tendency of doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like, as brilliant as they can be when it comes to matters like this, I think they just choose to be dumb.
You see, but this is exactly where the system fails. Because honestly, the true psychopaths can hide that they are psychopaths. It's the random Bob who lives two houses down from you who could be this mass murderer. And there you see him on a Sunday having family dinner at his house and you think, oh, what a good father. That they are able to manipulate. This guy literally said, I think disabled people should die, let's kill them. And you're not gonna think, okay, maybe we should put a little red flag here, this is a bit of a problem. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you know what's quite interesting, the problem with crime in general is, you know, it's basically the law. And something that I actually learned from, you know, listening to the political show on Active FM is the problem is the law is meant to protect criminals these days,
yeah.
actually, and not necessarily the victims or the innocent people. And the people that are meant to suffer are not suffering.
It's no,
the people
100%.
That are, you know, being committed the crime against. So it's quite sickening. The fact that he already sent out a warning.
I mean,
and nothing was done.
Honestly, he could have been on the scale of Hitler. If he had convinced people of his cause, he could have murdered every disabled person in Japan. And unfortunately, we live in a world with disabilities that does not make that person's life any less valuable. Do
yeah.
you get what I'm saying? And this is one argument I have, because a lot of people justify, oh, you must abort a baby if in the womb you can already see they're going to be
disabled.
Born with a disability. So that you're telling me then every person that has a disability shouldn't have been born. My mom taught a student and they had quite a couple of kids, and the mom fell pregnant with fifth kid, I think. And she came into my mom's classroom the one day crying because they had discovered in her appointment to the doctor that the baby had Down syndrome. And this family, when I tell you, like, the oldest son completed high school at 16 and got 13 distinctions. They were a very clever family.
Yeah.
Okay. So to have a kid with Down syndrome is a huge, like, difference.
Yeah.
And she came in crying saying, how could the doctors tell me to kill my baby? I don't care that it has Down syndrome. I love that baby just as much as I love the boy who gets the 13 distinctions. And I totally agree with it. But the fact that doctors are telling women, your baby's going to have Down syndrome. So you're telling me every person who has Down syndrome should never have been born. It's such a stupid argument.
I'm like, just on that, I have strong reason to believe there's some shady underground government schemes that happen with all of these like unborn children and dead people and body parts. But that's just my own conspiracy.
Glory's going down the rabbit hole a bit there. Okay,
yeah.
This is the same thing this guy's saying. Just because you have a disability, just because, I don't know, you were born blind or you lost your hearing in a car accident, whatever it may be, you don't deserve to be alive. That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's I actually have no words for how disgusting that is, actually. And you see, this wasn't even just an act of mass violence. It was a targeted extermination of the most vulnerable members of our society. These are people who can't fight back. If you come to them in the middle of the night, they mentally and physically actually can't defend themselves.
Yeah.
They can't fight off a gun, not a gunman, a knife man. They can't. What are they going to do? If you're mentally disabled, how are you going to know to fight for your life?
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Okay. The victims lived with severe disabilities. Many actually also unable to communicate and defend themselves. So imagine you're there. This man is leaning over you. You can't even scream for help. I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrible to think about.
No, and the families had entrusted this facility with their care, believing it was a safe haven. But these individuals weren't faceless. They were sons, daughters, siblings, human beings with names, stories, and lives. However, to this day, Japanese media have withheld their names for respect for the victims, okay? Citing privacy laws and respect for the families. There's also a culture stigma around disability in Japan, which complicates how the public discusses such a tragedy, right? But that silence has raised important questions. Should we name the victims to honor them, or does anonymity preserve their dignity? What do you think?
I think name them and shame them.
No, the victims. So who got killed?
Yes.
So why are you shaming them? Yeah, they got killed.
I just use the terminology because it's a common thing. But I think name them. Because it's public acknowledgement of the family.
I would say, I agree. I say when, you know, if we can say, you know, this person was killed, we honor that person. We acknowledge them and we pray and we care for their family.
Because for me, it's a sign of they actually care about what happened to these people. And not that publicly naming them does any good for them or reverses what was done. But it shows some kind of, you know, genuine concern to say
we're going to stand together. We're not trying to hide this. This happened. We recognize that this tragedy happened in our country. And we want to make awareness so that this never has to happen again.
Yeah, and the nation, the entire nation can stand with the people that are grieving.
And, you know, often when these types of things happen, it's always such a beautiful thing. If, like, a monument is built in honor and their names are etched there, it's just something to be like, you know, these people's lives were lost and we honor them and we celebrate the lives that they did live. But after surrendering to the police, Yumatsu showed no remorse. During interrogation and interview, he doubled down on his beliefs. He called the murders an act of mercy, one that would save their families and society. In one interview, he said, and I'm going to quote, "I had to do it for the sake of Japan. I wanted the world to understand my ideology." Weirdo. He was charged with 19 counts of murder, 26 counts of attempted murder, and other crimes, including illegal trespassing and weapon possession. His trial began in January 2020 and was watched closely both by Japan and around the world. His defense team initially raised mental health issues, suggesting he suffered from drug-induced psychosis or personality disorders. But Yumatsu himself rejected these claims. Imagine your defense is trying to help you and you're like, no, that's not true. Like, a bit counterproductive, but okay. And he said that he acted out of logical reasoning. In March 2020, he was found guilty of all counts and was sentenced to death. During the trial, one of the few survivors testified about waking up during the attack, unable to move or cry for help as the knife descended. That haunting testimony sealed the reality of what had happened. Imagine you lying there, you literally can't get up, you can't move, you can't scream, and there's a knife coming. Oh, goodness me. That's like a horror movie.
Yeah.
The massacre forced Japan to confront some difficult truths. Despite its image as a peaceful, orderly society, Japan has deep-rooted stigmas around mental illness and disability.
Yeah.
Many disabled people are socially isolated and care facilities are often hidden from public view, being like, we just want to hide you away. This case exposed how marginalized communities can be silenced even in death. It raised questions about hate speech, about mental health care, and about how society values or fails to value its most vulnerable. In the aftermath, disability rights advocates across the globe condemned the attack as an act of ableism-fueled terrorism. They called for broader conversations about inclusion, support, and dignity. But the truth is, much of the world has just moved on.
Yeah.
And I think it's very sad. I think, you know, like we said, being disabled doesn't make you any less of a person. Okay, you're still a human being. You're still created by God. There is no reason why you should be treated differently. Now, obviously, yes, for example, if you're in a wheelchair, you can't walk up the stairs. That's an obvious conclusion. You can't drive a car. There are things in life that will be affected.
Well, some people on wheelchairs can drive cars.
Yeah, but that's very rare.
I mean, they make...
Yeah, they make those cars, but it's not like a common thing.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is just because there's some aspects of their life that are affected, that doesn't change who they are inside and who God created them to be. I mean, there's a guy, he has no legs, no arms, and he's a motivational speaker, and he inspires a lot of people around the world because, you know, our body...
Isn't he from, like, Australia or New Zealand or something?
I don't remember, but your physical body actually doesn't make you the person that you are.
Yeah.
And so the fact that... I think that is a very big conversation to have, because I think sometimes people see disabled people in the streets and they're like, ooh. When it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't speak for how people are treated in Japan because I don't actually know the situation. But I think this is a conversation to be had, that, you know, why did these people lose their lives just because there was something wrong with them?
Yeah.
That we should just kill all the people who end up in hospital because they're not worth it. I mean, it's the same. That's the same logic, actually.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. So that is the Sakamihara stabbings. Like I said, it's quite an interesting case, and it's quite recent, actually. 2016 was, well, it'll be 10 years next year.
Yeah.
And I think it does definitely raise some interesting questions, not just about crime, but about how we treat people.
Yeah.
And so before we end, is there anything you'd like to add? Anything else you need to say?
Yeah, not much. No? This was quite an interesting episode. Mm-hmm. A little bit... on the crazy side. When are we never on the crazy
when are we
side?
Never on the crazy side is the actual
but yeah.
question. The actual question.
Yeah.
But that is all for this week. We hope you enjoyed. We will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM, the Netflix of radio. But better.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.